We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did somebody tweet at you that Nikola Jokic is on the Jenny Crank diet?
Yes. That was just
Jenny Crank.
That was so awesome, man. I mean, that's my man, Brad Kettner. That was pretty good, dog. That was all right. I can't even mess with that. But that was pretty damn good.
What did you say in the last segment? It was something about Nutrisystem or something.
Yeah. Because you remember the old Nutrisystem commercial where they had all the old quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't want him no more.
I remember when my grandma would try to, she would go through diets, you know, and there was always, you know, there's always a fad diet going on, right? I mean, I don't know if you can call keto fad because it's worked really great for you, but there's always something going on. My Grammy would always do Slim Fast.
Oh, yeah.
They'd get you those shakes, right? So mm-hmm. you'd have to drink a shake for breakfast and a shake mm-hmm. for lunch and then have mm-hmm. a sensible dinner. That was the, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, I remember the slogan. But when she was doing it, she was always in a bad mood because uh-huh. you can't just drink a chocolate milk for breakfast and lunch and have enough to eat, like you're starving yourself. I just remember it was always the worst. Like if we went to visit Grammy and she was drinking a Slim Fast for breakfast, it was like, damn, all right, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, but you know, Slim Fast does a lot with keto. So I do a lot of the Slim Fast keto shakes. That's why I'll do that in the afternoon sometimes. But yeah, I mean, dude, everybody try to come out with that some weight loss joint, because you remember the big thing was they would drop their big pants, knowing damn well you weren't that damn big. That was always the one. And even as a young legit, I didn't buy into that. I'm like, yo, ain't no way you fit them your pants. You know, I always had some big old Wranglers, and they would just drop them. Like, man,
they were always Dockers. They were always giant Dockers. Yeah. I don't even think they make Dockers that big. They'd be in one leg. They'd have both legs in one leg, and then the other leg would be completely open, like they were one third of the size. I will say this though, with all the weight that you've lost, and as the way that you tell it, some of the genes that you have upstairs. I bet if you posted one of those pictures, it would be pretty funny. Like I bet some of those jeans would be pretty funny.
They don't fit. That's the thing. They don't. That's one reason why I don't wear jeans, because I'm still trying to gather up the courage to break out all the damn True Religions that I got. You know, but everybody tell me they out of style, which they are.
Don't be scared,
but
Randy.
I shouldn't care. I shouldn't care because as long as I wear like a long shirt. You can't see the back pockets, you won't know. But yeah, you know, I don't wear long shirts like that anymore. You know, if I was back in the day and I had the 3XL double white tee, XLT, you know, that'd cover it up. But I don't do that no more. But yeah, I mean, I luckily I haven't really been anywhere that I need to wear jeans. So I've been cool. But I got all my sevens jeans, they fit. But other than that, no, my other ones, no. Don't fit me no more, man.
Well, I mean, I've had the suggestion the whole time, and I know you don't want to hear it again, but I'm going to say it. Just turn those True Religions into jean shorts. Just turn them into jorts.
That's going to make it even damn worse.
What do you mean worse? It would make it better. Then they're multi-purpose. You can wear them when it's hot. You look cool.
No, I'm good. I'm all right on that. But, yeah, I mean, and it's crazy because every time I go up there, I go in the closet, they'll be right there. I just be looking at them like. First of all, it's too damn hot to be wearing jeans.
It's too hot to wear jeans right now.
I mean, I know people still wear jeans, but it's too hot for Randy to wear jeans because mm-hmm. your thighs begin sweaty because you got to put that some of that baby powder on your thighs so you can, you know, just keep them dry.
I mean, that's one of the best things about working from home is basketball shorts every single day. basketball shorts and a t-shirt every single, which is not that different than we would dress even if we were in the studio. Like, we are talking about how it's nice to not have to get dressed. It's not like we do anything differently in the, like, 92.9 The Game, by and large, top to bottom, aside from Tanitra and Wendy and, like, maybe one or two other people, is just a badly dressed group of people.
Hold on.
But it's true.
I'll be looking all right.
I mean, you look okay, but it's not like you're going to a real 9-to-5 job. You got sweatpants on and a t-shirt that's fun.
Yeah, but no, this, see, this has been a real, like, this has been the laziest week for me. I've been in draws the whole week. Yesterday, no shirt on, not even a tank top on. Yesterday did the show. Day before, the same thing. Today I got on a white undershirt and some white draws. That's all I've been wearing, because I don't need to leave the house. I went grocery shopping the other day, so I got plenty of food. You know, the only time I got to sneak to the mailbox, because I don't want to, flash nobody. But other than that, dude, I've been in this house chilling.
Why don't you just have somebody else go to the mailbox for you if you're wearing your underwear?
I got to get some cardio in.
Great point. Let's get to an NFL No Huddle.
We're going No Huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Just wear your draws, like Randy. Or get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up, another way they make you smile. Tom Brady's at it again, Randy. The NFL specifically asked players to stop having individual workouts. And Tom Brady's still out there in public parks working out with his teammates in the city of Tampa Bay, where he's already been in trouble with the law. He's already run afoul of the law multiple times. This man is a menace. Tom Brady is a menace, and he must be stopped. But seriously, they are still doing this. I thought the NFL told these guys to stop working out together.
They recommended it, right? And one of this young lady, I think her name is Jenna Lynn. She works for ESPN. I follow her. She's a Tampa reporter for the ESPN from Tampa. And
I saw her on TV today.
Yeah, she just tweeted, said Tom Brady and his Bucks teammates aren't breaking any laws by defying the NFLPA guidelines about working out together. But it has some residents and local healthcare workers concerned about the example being set. Yeah, I mean, it's a bad look because it's Tom, but I know that there are some other teammates and other players out there working out with their teammates. It is what it is. We know that. But the funny thing is, I was thinking about, how do you turn down Tom Brady? Like,
you don't.
Like, if I'm sitting there, like, if I'm O.J. Howard, hey, man, let's go throw. Nah, Tom, I'm worried about my safety, man. You know, like, it's just certain things. He got that cachet to be out there. And it's funny because we were talking yesterday about how when people get the virus or whatever, we talk about the tennis player and everything and how he was out and partying and all that, and not social distancing and things like that. It's always, that's what you get. Could you imagine the uproar and the that's what you get story of Tom? This something like that happens to Tom Brady? Just because people hate Tom, first of all, which I don't understand how you can ever hate the man.
Jealousy, mostly. Sports hate. It's not real hate. It's sports hate.
You know, I think it's some real hate behind that, man. I mean, you can't help that he looked good and got Giselle on his arm and got beautiful babies and he got a whole lot of loot.
I don't really care about any of that. I care about the games that teams that I like or love have lost to him. That's what I care about. I don't care. I mean, cool, he's handsome, whatever. There's a lot of handsome people. I'm handsome. I'm not a millionaire. But, I mean, 28-3, Tom Brady had a lot to do with, and we're not going
to discuss that. But yeah,
well, that's why I hate him. That's why a lot of people I'm talking to right now hate him. I'm sure there are
a lot of people that are still out there working out. You just don't have it, because you know what I always say, everything don't need to be filmed. You know, just go out there, let's get this work in, and let's get up out of here. And I'm sure there's still some out there doing it, even though there's a couple players that did get it. But, I mean, this is a different time that we're in as far as, you know, trying to get this workout in with your people, because these are new receivers for him, and he's trying to find some kind of cover of it, and also trying to work back in Gronk and all those things too.
Can't they find, like the Lakers did? Like, the Lakers are practicing at that secret Fila mansion in Bel Air, LA Gear Mansion. Isn't there some sort of rich person that has a football field in their backyard
in the Miami area?
In the Tampa area.
I'm sure they do. I bet that yard that Jeter got probably got about 100 yards. Why don't y'all go in the backyard, Tom?
Yeah, go someplace secret.
You know what I'm saying? Why don't y'all come up to the backyard? You know, and do something like that. But yeah, hopefully nothing bad happens to the players. But yeah, Tom, until you tell Tom he can't do it, Tom's gonna be out there.
And even if you do tell him he can't do it, he might do it anyway because he played for the Patriots.
We know that Tom has a habit of, you know, has a has a habit of breaking laws, breaking
rule
rules.
Bending. Yeah, rule bending. Benders.
Yeah, that is yeah. rule bending.
Yeah, when you win, it's rule bending.
Rule bending.
Yeah, they're just rule benders in New England. That's all. Now, they did have a couple players and coaches test positive for the coronavirus with the Buccaneers over the last week as well. So, I don't know. I'm with you. I hope nobody gets sick. I hope it's okay. But you're right. It would be a really bad look if one of those players, or Tom Brady specifically, came down with the coronavirus after defying the NFL's recommendation. That's also something to keep in mind as the season gets underway. And I know that I think it was Bruce Arians who said he might just keep a quarterback in glass, in case you need it, emergency break the glass and have a quarterback who's quarantined if Tom Brady gets sick. I wouldn't be surprised if more teams think about this, or maybe even the NFL allows for a roster expansion, because it's going to be a real gamble if your quarterback gets sick at some point this season, especially if it happens in the playoffs, how difficult it's going to be to win these games. The last thing the NFL wants is a team losing a playoff game because their star quarterback can't play because of coronavirus.
But that's the times we're in, Andy. That is, I don't want to say it's an expectation, but there's a good chance that could happen. I think that's the thing about it, is there's a realistic chance that you will find one of your best players that this happens at a time where, you know, no time is good for it to happen, but I'm saying when you're at a critical part of the season, something like this can happen. We're absolutely correct, because we still haven't figured out how the hell you socially distance in football.
You can't.
Until we figure that out, you know, I don't know what the hell is going to go on.
I mean,
I know you can't, but I mean, that's the crazy thing. They're talking about you social. They're making the facilities and everything, all these things. I get it. Cool, great. What about when we on the football field? Where we doing all our touching of each other? Damn it, not that. Y'all know what I mean. When we're blocking the tackle.
That is how you've said it the last couple of days. Like, you've put it that way. Everyone knows what you're talking about, but you've said it for some reason.
I be talking fast sometimes, so I'm trying to slow it down and not say stupid stuff like that.
Because
I'm a professional, Andy.
You are. You're a professional media member, broadcaster.
But you're going to be blocking folks, and I'll even say that, like, when you're blocking and sometimes your face masks hit each other, sometimes some saliva get on you and some snot from the other guy. It gets on you, man.
I'm sure
it gets on you. All right. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
I mean, football's a disgusting game.
It is.
During the 60 minutes that it's happening.
It's very nasty when you think about it.
It is.
Like, you're like, I put my hand in the dirt all the time, but then I keep my mouthpiece in my hand and I pull my mouthpiece out with my hand, my glove. Uh-huh. I mean, it's a real disgusting sport that you don't think about it until now. Like,
baseball,
I ain't never washed my hands this many damn times.
Part of the baseball protocol is no spitting and all that stuff. Apparently, pitchers are going to have a wet rag in their back pocket instead of licking their fingers. And that's disgusting, too, if you think about it. Watch a baseball game for 5 minutes. You won't be able to count on both hands how many times you see somebody scratch themselves or spit tobacco on the field. And then a pitcher scratching himself and then licking his fingers. That's disgusting. So they're going to have to stop trying to. They're going to have to try to stop doing that during the year. My whole point with all of that quarterback, coronavirus, maybe expand the rosters point was this question: do you think this is enough with what Roger Goodell has said over the last couple of weeks that maybe the NFL changing their view on some of this stuff?
No.
Do you think this is enough to get Colin Kaepernick a job?
No.
No.
I don't. No,
even a global pandemic where we're going to need more quarterbacks and we might expand the rosters, and the commissioner has said he would be supportive, and Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. Like, Colin Kaepernick still can't get a job?
No.
Damn.
No. Do I think he should? Yeah. But is he? I don't. I just don't think the owners will approve of that. I hate saying it, but I mean, we know that there's something. What it was, Detroit. Miss Ford said that, you know, she would be okay if they hired. Okay, that's fine. That sounds good. But they hire him. I mean, that's the thing. People keep on saying, well, I hope he gets a job. Well, give him a damn job.
Give him a job. It's up to you. You can do that. You can bring him in for a workout. You can have him in for training camp. It's up to you.
But they can't. I mean, but I don't think, and I'm pretty sure they can't bring guys in for workouts now. So on talking about it. They can't bring them in right now. Nobody. I don't think they're letting anybody into the facilities until late July. So until that comes around, I mean, there won't be any workouts. You won't see Cam Newton, because as great as Cam is, Cam is gonna have to. Cam's gonna have to work out for somebody in order for him to get a job. Which is fair, because you don't know how healthy he is. The videos are cool and all that, the black and white and the music in the background and they said that I was done. You know, them kind of videos, but look no more.
Cam Newton's built for that. He loves all that stuff.
Oh yeah. But Cam built for it tough, man. You like that though. Yeah.
But he likes that extra stuff too, though. Like Cam Newton is the perfect player to be in the position that he's in. Like if you're gonna dive into the odds were against me, and I was like, Cam's great at all that extra dramatic stuff. Now I hope he gets a job because Cam Newton's awesome, and if he's healthy, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. It still boggles my mind that he's out there unsigned. I imagine he'll get an opportunity when training camps get underway, but I don't know. Apparently, Antonio Brown might get an opportunity. Here's Mike Garofolo saying that Seattle might be interested.
Antonio Brown last year was a fiasco, and because of off-the-field issues, maybe facing a suspension of about half a season. But he's an exceptional talent. He's been reasonably quiet on social media lately. So teams are sniffing around, and I would keep an eye on the Seattle Seahawks. Antonio Brown's been doing some off-season workouts with their backup quarterback, Geno Smith. They are absolutely interested in having him potentially as a late season addition.
Yeah, go get him.
Garofalo always sounds like he has a cold. Him and Mike Silver.
No, that's Mike Silver.
That was Mike Silver. Okay.
Yeah. Mike does always sound like he got
Mike Silver. Always sounds like he has.
Like he got some snot in his nose.
Yeah.
Like he got snotty nose. Mike.
You know how good you have to be for that to be the standard for you to get a workout. Look, with all the crazy stuff Antonio Brown's done. He hasn't really tweeted anything in a while. Maybe we could bring him back because he's so good.
He's so good, and that would be a great addition. We know that one of the cases really has been resolved and everything, and it's a probation type thing. And I think the NFL is going to find a way to suspend him for that. But I mean, you get him, Russell. You get Antonio Brown to Russell Wilson, man. That'd be a big time move for them, man, because really he still needs more guys on the outside.
Yeah, if you put him with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf up there, Greg Olsen too, by the way, sneaky signing in the offseason.
They go from having him up there.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about him though. We'll come back and hear from Roddy Nabalsi from UGASports.com. Some very interesting information about the coronavirus testing protocol and how Georgia is handling theirs. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy on hump day. Makes sense.
Now 20 minutes away from the win. I'm about to ruin. I'm sorry, dude. I love, you know, and I'm up here doing the dance too. You know that, right?
I don't doubt it. I don't.
Have you ever
you don't dance.
Have you ever tried to do the hump to dance? Have you ever tried to do the hump to dance?
Of course I have. Doing it right now also.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't dance either, Randy.
I boogie.
20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Tanitra Batiste filling in for Wendy for the remainder of the week. We'll get there in 20 minutes. Back into the most important audio in the world at noon. But before we do any of that, Roddy Nabalsi joined us from UGASports.com yesterday. And thought it'd be a good time to check in with him with everything going on and with athletes able to come back to campus and work out and with all the positive tests that we've seen across the board on some other college campuses. And that's where we started. How will those positive tests at LSU and Clemson and other schools impact what UGA is going to do and impact what other college football programs may do going forward?
See, I'm an optimistic guy, and I think that when you see these cases happen as early as they do, and the fact that so many of them are asymptomatic, you know, and young college kids, you know, highly tuned athletes, they're going to get it. They're going out. You know, they're going through all the protocols when they get to the universities where they're allowed to practice. You know, they're staying apart. They're getting tested. They're wearing a mask. They're doing all that stuff. But then they go back to dorm rooms. They go out to eat. I just saw a bunch of Georgia players out having dinner. I mean, having lunch. And again, you know, they're not wearing masks when they're out to lunch. But the place they were at is immaculate, so I won't. I'm not projecting anything. I'm just saying that what we're seeing is the universities only have so much control over taking care of the kids. The kids are going to have to take it upon themselves to keep themselves safe. But they're also very, very unlikely to have complications from this thing. So I just think that you're going to see a lot of kids get it throughout the college football landscape. They're going to be asymptomatic. Some will get sick, and, you know, God forbid any of them pass away. But they are able to get this thing and not have any real troubles with it. So I think that you're going to see a lot of kids get it, and we will have a season. Now, what will be interesting, though, is if mid-season all of a sudden your quarterback tests positive and he has to go into a 2-week protocol, what do you do when you know, what are you ready for your backup to be in there? You know, it's going to be a very, very interesting situation, but I do think that we're going to have football. And I know UGA has not announced that they've had any positive tests, but according to our sources, they have had positive tests. So it is out there. I don't think any team is going to test and say, no, we don't have it, because I just think it's too far into the population. The kids are going out to take it out with their friends who also have it, and it's going to be spread. There's nothing we can do about it.
And that was what we were just talking about, Roddy, before we got you on, was the fact that these kids, they're going to go do what they do as soon as they're finished with, you know, the workouts or whatever. And definitely, that was one of our biggest things. We haven't heard anything from Georgia. Does anybody have it or whatever? How are they actually testing the kids? Because I was curious, when they come in, do they test them at the Butzmere building where the workout is, or do they test them back at the dorm rooms?
Now, here's the thing. I was told two different things, so I don't want to speculate. I was told that they had to report to the health center and do it there. Then I was told that they were also doing it at the Butzmere building. It's so easy to set these test spots up. It seems to me you would do it right there at Butzmere where the kids go to work out. So, and UGA is being very, very tight to the vest about how the tests are being done, who's tested positive. I know a lot of schools are announcing it. We reported 13 days ago that Georgia was not going to announce this. Now, they can do it in the next 5 minutes and maybe look like a liar, which would be fine. It won't bug me. But we told people 2 weeks ago, hey, they are not going to announce it. They have made the decision not to put out their numbers. Okay. We were told, and I got this from a player, that less than 7 had tested positive, and that was, of course, 2 weeks ago. So they have tested positive. I can guarantee that that's from a kid on the team. There have been some positive tests, but UGA doesn't want to put out there. They don't put out the numbers, and they darn sure don't want to put out the names, because, again, this thing carries a small stigma to it.
Right.
And, the HIPAA laws, you can't do that, so they are not putting it out. Now, as reporters, we put out freedom of information requests trying to find out what they told the Department of Health and stuff like that, just so we can get an idea of how many. When you see Clemson come out with 25, you know, even if they're asymptomatic, that's still good to know. I mean, the more we know about what's going on, the better. But UGA is like, nope. And again, people say, well, that's just Kirby trying to be Kirby. No, that was a UGA decision. They don't want to put the numbers out there. And
right.
I can't say, and I hate it, but I can't say that I blame them.
Yeah, I mean, my question was going to be if that's the right of every school, like if you have the ability to do that, why wouldn't you? Like why would LSU and Clemson and other schools tell us what they're going through when UGA may be going through the same thing and they're keeping it quiet?
Well, this idea is like, look, let's be transparent about this. Let's show what we're going through. Let's get people an idea. And if you're a Clemson fan and you hear that 25 players got it, you know, your world just got rocked. You're thinking, oh, my God, that's this season. But 14 days from now, I guarantee you, every one of those kids is probably going to be cleared up. And that's 25 kids who aren't going to lose it, you know, right before they play Florida State or something like that. You know, those. I'm not saying this is like the mumps or the measles or something where you want to get this and get it out of the way. But if they can get over it now and build up the antibodies and not have to deal with it later, it's a sad silver lining. But it is a silver lining.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely correct, Roddy. And I'm going back to something that you said earlier, and you talk about, and something that a lot of us bring up as far as football. We're looking at it like, okay, there's going to be football. And when a player catches it, they're just going to be like, okay, well, you got to go sit down. But when you were talking about what if it's your quarterback, who is the one player that if this happens, it can derail UGA season?
That's a tough one. You know, everybody wants to point to the quarterback because everything goes through him. But I think if something were to happen to Jeremy Newman, and again, you know, we saw this 8 plays into Kirby Smart's season when Jacob Eason went down, you know, then he had to play a true freshman quarterback. Kirby's been there. He knows what to do. Todd Munkin's preparing for that eventuality. You've got Carson Beck there. You've got Juwan Mathis there. You've got Stetson Bennett, who's taken a ton of snaps. Losing the quarterback would be horrible, but I don't know that it would be the most detrimental thing because you've got a stable running backs and a good offensive line. To me, I'd go to the guy. You've had so much change on the offensive line. I worry if you were to lose Trey Hill. If Trey Hill were to test positive, you know, right before the Alabama game, and all of a sudden you don't have your center out there, your guy with everything runs through, who's calling out those protections, who's calling out the plays, you know, keeping your quarterback up and running, to lose Trey Hill. And you got a lot of guys who can step in for him, but I think that is the heart and soul of your offensive line right now. And don't forget this, guys. if you test positive, it is also likely that your roommates or suite mates might have to go into quarantine as well.
Right.
But it might not be just a one-time dude, you know.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here on the Midday Show from UGASports.com, getting us caught up on everything that's going on with the coronavirus protocol. What are the guys allowed to do right now? I know that they've been able to get back for workouts with testing and all of that. What is the extent of what they're actually able to do when they're in there?
They're able to do their workouts, and that's, you know, you open up the weight room, and a lot of these guys, when they were sick, you know, they go home for spring break, and then they're not allowed to come back. Not everyone has a, you know, bench. Not everyone has free weights. Not everyone has all the equipment that you want to keep these athletes, you know, in shape. Now, of course, you can run, you can do push-ups and stuff like that. But you know, those offensive linemen, those tight ends, they like plates. You know, they need those 245, 345 pounds on the bar to do all those squats. You know, now they can actually get into the weight room. They can get onto the squat racks. They can get onto all the machines and do all that stuff with coaches in attendance. Now, when I say coaches, I mean the strength and conditioning coaches, not the actual position coaches or stuff like that. So those coaches are in the attendance to make sure nobody's hurting themselves and no one's doing anything unsafe. Once they're done there, they are able to walk over to the indoor practice facility, and Jamie Newman can get together with his wide receivers and say, okay, let's run this play. Let's run that play. Let's run this one. Coaches can't be there, but Jamie Newman and his wide receivers can. He and Demetrius Robertson and George Pickens can work on their timing. We saw a video of him working with Trey McKitty, the tight end transfer out of Florida State. The offensive line can say, hey, let's line up, you know, five across. Let's walk through this play. Let's walk through that play. The secondary guys are going against the wide receivers. Hey, you run routes, let me try to stop you. So they're doing a ton of volunteer work. And I say volunteer, it's they're voluntary workouts on their own. So this team is prepared. A lot of people are worried with a new offensive line coach out there. I mean, offensive line coach and offensive coordinator that, you know, they're going to need weeks and weeks to get ready. They are practicing the plays that they will be running. They're working on the signals. They could play a football game tomorrow.
Right. Is everybody back, and how are they? Because you can't let all the guys in the weight room at the same time. Are they doing like different groups as far as maybe the O-line goes at 1 hour, the defensive line like that?
Oh, yeah, it's completely staggered. So that weight room is getting worked out all day long. They allow groups of six per station. And then if you want that, you can only have three groups of six total in that same area, you know, moving from station to station. And, of course, everything's washed down between them. So, you don't have the whole team out there. And even then, you're not exactly running 11-on-11 when you let them do their voluntary drills and stuff out on the field. You know, they're not going to say, hey, let's run your 11 versus my 11. You're going to have Jeremy Newman working with the right-hand side of his wide receivers. Like, okay, give me my X over there. Give me a slot guy. And that's going to go up against a cornerback and a star. And we're going to try to complete this pass against that. They're not even doing the full 7-on-7s to my knowledge. But they are using the actual plays and the actual calls and the actual signals that Todd Monken wants to stall. Because remember, these guys have had countless hours of meetings during the entire shutdown. They were allowed to do Zoom meetings. So when I say they're ready to play, you know, yes, they missed spring, but they did have lots of hours to actually put in play calls and look at film. So mentally, they know what to do. Muscle memory-wise, they're far from that. So it's going to take them a while to get it. But, yeah, they're not all working out. You don't have 105 kids in the weight room at the same time. You have them coming in very staggered because, as everybody knows, anybody that follows Georgia football, even in the slightest, if you haven't heard the term Ron Corson, the guy who basically takes care of those Georgia football players. He is a Hall of Famer. He is legendary in collegiate football for as good a trainer as he is. And if he finds out that there were some kids in a restaurant earlier today not wearing masks, he's going to be pissed.
Yeah, Ron's going to be real upset.
Good. You need
He is not one of those trainers that says, okay, here, slap some dirt on me, get back out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, every coach has had him as their lead trainer, has had to, I don't want to say fight him, but there are coaches that will want to get out there, and Ron Corson will take up for the player over the program every day. He is only about making sure these kids are healthy. And I was like, yeah, I know you need this guy, but he is not ready to go. And Ron's the best.
Yeah, Roddy, we appreciate it, man.
Hey, great Roddy, stuff, appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you later.
A lot of great stuff from Roddy Nabalsi from yesterday. We'll react a bit more to it, top of the noon hour, with the most important audio in the world. We got some breaking news from the PGA Tour as well. We'll get to that. Tanitra Batiste joins us next, though, for the Wendy Zone. Wendy's out all week. Tanitra is in, filling in right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app. Protocol going forward, but not great news after just a couple tournaments that now they've had multiple positive tests. Not super surprising either, but more positive tests coming out of the coronavirus or coming out of the PGA Tour. So hopefully it doesn't mean they have to stop. I don't think it will, but we'll keep you updated on that as if any of the names come out or anything like that. We'll get into the most important audio in the world coming up in about 15 minutes. But first, hello, Tanitra.
Hey, T. How are you?
Great.
All right.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting when you think about golf because it's kind of that contact, non-contact sport. So, yeah, when we saw the report, like you said, the update, the even more test players that tested positive, Graham McDowell withdrawn from the Travelers Championship, it's just very interesting. But I think this is one of those things where you just can't help the fact that it's an as-we-go-along situation in each and every sport, regardless of, you know, what the level of contact is. So,
yeah, I have to, full disclosure, I read that story selfishly and hope that that's not mentioned on the CNN newswire today because then my wife would see it because golf is the like the one thing that it's okay to do right now. I got one day a week to go out there and play, and I've been going to the range because you could social distance in golf. I played last night. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
Right.
But if all these guys are coming down with coronavirus, that one day a week might go away.
They drive in carts. And
I just started playing good, too. I actually played okay last night. Come on, PGA Tour. Don't ruin it for all of us.
Work with your boy, the one all pass you got in the Rona stream.
So selfish. It's all about me, Randy. If you haven't learned that yet, then I don't know what to tell you.
I love it. I love it. So listen, I got this one story that I thought, well, I've got a couple, but hey, we got tomorrow too, so I'll be with you guys all week. Woo!
And Friday.
But there is one that I thought, and I feel like you guys have talked about it before. I know that they've definitely dragged for this guy here and there on the morning show, but I wanted to talk to you guys about Joe Buck. You know, you either love him or hate him. There's really no middle ground. Hate's a strong term, but you guys know what I mean in terms of him as a broadcaster. So he decided to kind of flip the script a little bit. He did a prank call for the Howard Stern show, and he phoned a sports talk show, played like he was a regular listener, and had the host thinking that he was calling to get their thoughts on Joe Buck. So the host quickly replied. They I don't know, for some reason they didn't know it was him, but if you got it queued up, Ken, I would love to let Andy and Randy listen to it and then kind of get you guys' thoughts on this. I thought it was hilarious. It's a little long, but it's funny as all get out.
Hey, I was wondering, what do you guys think of broadcaster Joe Buck? I'm not a big Joe Buck fan,
so you hate Joe Buck.
I do. I don't like Joe Buck because he's a Yankees hater.
Some people give him a hard time, but I think he's a good guy who tries his best. He gets to call every big sporting event. He must be doing something right.
He is an awful, awful broadcaster, and he sort of irritates me, and I kind of just wish he'd go away.
Is there anything Joe Buck can do to change your opinion?
No. Only if he came out and said, I've been a complete asshole.
Yeah. Well, who the hell are you to criticize Joe Buck? Joe Buck doesn't suck. You suck.
Is this Joe Buck?
I'm so glad to be talking to you on your radio show.
Joe Buck called into my show?
Yes.
There's actually polls online specifically that have him rated as the most hated broadcaster in sports. And I'll be honest with you, I see why.
That's so great.
So great.
That is so great because of the fact is that that happens so much. And you remember when we first started, we first got together and you were in the Uber and the guy didn't know that you were Andy Bunker. And that is always so funny to me, man, when people do that and then like, try to backtrack when they find out. That's so great. I don't understand why people don't like Joe Buck the way they do. I like Joe. Got a chance to meet him a couple times. Nice man. We know about how legendary his father is out there in St. Louis and everything. But I just thought, I'm like, why do people hate Joe Buck so much?
I don't know either. I mean, I guess he comes off a little smug with his voice, but that hasn't ever bothered me. I don't know. Yeah. I'm always, and maybe this is, maybe this is soft or whatever, or sitting on the fence. I'm always very, but I think it's also a professional courtesy. I'm very hesitant to criticize other broadcasters because it's hard. Like being a broadcaster, especially play-by-play, I suck at play-by-play. I try to do it a bunch of times. I'm awful at it. So me trying to criticize other play-by-play people just, it doesn't seem like something that I should be doing. But I'm just really hesitant to do it because, like, if you're in broadcasting long enough and you're good enough at it, like, you're going to run across these people. And if you don't know them, then it seems unfair to say someone to, you know, to talk badly about someone like that if you've never actually met them before.
I like Joe. Joe used to let us use his plane. He's let us use his plane.
His jet,
all the Rams players, like, we would, like, literally do, like, have to, like, get in line because, you know, just trying to catch a quick flight somewhere or whatever, and you don't want to go commercial. Joe would let us borrow his plane and everything because it was him and Bulger bought it together. So him and Mark Bulger are real close. Oh, that's how I got to know him.
That's very cool.
And so, they bought a plane together.
That's amazing that he called into that radio show, though. And what's
what's
funny is the guys, you know, it could have been you and me, Randy, and we would have been like, Joe Buck's pretty cool. And then you would have told that story, and then Joe Buck would have been like, hi, guys. But they went in on Joe Buck, so it made it even better.
Exactly. And it was the funniest thing because, you know, you think about it like, okay, what is it about Joe Buck? You know, the guys, I talked to John and Hugh about it, but I'd love to get you guys different takes on things sometimes. And so they talked about the hair. Maybe it's the hair. Maybe it's, maybe it's ubiquitous. The fact that he's everywhere. He calls everything. And sometimes people just love to hate on you when they just see or hear you too much. So I don't know what it is, but there's something about him where there's no middle ground. You either like him, love him, or you can't stand him. There's just no middle ground. Real quick, guys, one more story on hateration because, hey, I like to hate and be petty sometimes. So we talked about cities that we love yesterday. Obviously, Randy loves Miami. I hate him, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. So I am among many who are waiting for the baseball season to come back to troll the Astros. So people are already going in on them. A couple of the funniest trolls, Astros, realize the baseball's back and that, hey, if you don't get banned off 60 games, we are going to bean you at every game. And then there was one really simple one. We, period, didn't, period, forget. And then the one I liked was breaking. MLB fans continue their hatred for the Houston Astros. And dear Astros, we can hear the bangs more clearly in an empty stadium. Oh, I love to hate on the Astros in Houston.
And we were talking about the odds in the Braves and fourth. Where are the Astros odds? It would be so, it's a kick in the gut if they end up winning the damn World Series this year.
Yeah, it would be.
Wouldn't it just be, because there's no fans to boo them, nobody to heckle them, and they win the championship this year?
I think based on the numbers that I saw. Yeah, they got great odds. Great odds, right, Tanitra?
They got 7-1 odds to win. I mean, the Yankees and Dodgers, you know, obviously are at the top, but yeah, Astros 7-1 odds above, even ahead of the Braves with 12-1 odds. So there you have it.
Yeah, I'm with you though. I am interested to see how people handle it. If they've forgiven or forgotten a little bit the other players, like if they're not going to throw at them because of everything that happened over the last couple of months, or if they're just going to go right back to what they would have done if the season would have started on time.
Yeah, because it's been hush-hush about the Yankees, right? Nobody's talked about that. I'm not bad.
Red Sox, too. Yeah.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It, Tanitra. Great
Thanks,
stuff.
Tanitra.
We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the noon hour. We've got another 10 NFL football cards to get through at 12:20 as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.